Hello.
Hi, Christina. We are good to go.
All right.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Okay, so I graduated in the spring of 2018, and my major was vocal performance.
Got it. Remind me, are you a Berkeley or Boston Conservatory?
I was at Berkeley.
So performance major, principal instrument voice.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, cool. Because BOCO refers to it as a, like, I majored in X performance. So.
Right. I always forget. I try to make it easy for people that are not, musically inclined talking to employers. So I'm like, it's just vocal performance. Like that's what just what it sounds like.
Totally get it, no problem. All right, so we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Awesome. So right now I work at a company called WellPath. They are essentially a doctor, nursing, kind of any healthcare personnel that you could imagine. We're a staffing agency and we work specifically with prisons, jails, and rehabilitation centers. So our job is to, we receive contracts from states, we receive contracts from just different independent jails or rehab centers. And we are the people going to find the doctors and medical professionals to staff those locations.
Can I
So,
just ask a quick
yeah,
question here? So
of
just
course.
making sure, because I've interviewed a lot of recruiters, most of them working as tech recruiters, but the idea, the idea is, yeah, they're going out and finding good candidates, which, this other company hires. Is your company basically doing that? You, like, you find the doctor and the nurse and say, hey, we think you should hire them. They're hired, or are you actually more like, say, a temp agency that you all have guaranteed to provide a doctor, and y like the jail pays you and you pay the doctor, and the doctor is technically your employee? You see what I'm asking?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually right now, especially in the healthcare industry, there are quite a lot of what we call agency workers. Latter form that you're talking about, where they get paid through their agency and the jail pays the agency for the doctor. We at WellPath, we are actually staffing these people. So the doctors that work at these prisons that we have contracts for are full-time WellPath employees.
Got it. Got it. All right. So you're not like a regular recruiting firm. You're
No. Yeah, just
interesting.
a little bit different. Yeah, it's definitely a different kind of recruiting firm. And my role specifically is I assist on more of the back end of onboarding new employees.
Can
So
I ask
I'm
a
in
quick
kind of the
question?
background.
Can I ask a
Yeah.
quick question about the agency? Like, do you know about how many employees y'all have?
Yes, the last time that I looked, it was between, I believe, 400 to 500 employees, just in the corporate side of WellPath doing what I do. But as far as all of the employees of WellPath, including all of the healthcare workers, doctors, medical staff, let me double check because we do have some statistics on our website. And I believe, so I know we have almost every state, and then we also have some locations in Australia, which is a
Interesting.
fun one. Yeah, but we have, let's see. Believe the last time I checked, it was something like 15,000 Yeah, we say we have about 15,000 clinicians and professionals, and it's in 34 states in the US and Australia.
Gotcha. Is your headquarters all, like, is your corporate all one place, or is that in a lot of different places?
Corporate is in one place. Corporate is in Nashville. And we have, obviously, with COVID and everything changing the scope, everyone does work from home. We do still have that corporate office, but it's more of a as needed basis that people go in.
Understood. All right, so let's get now we just have a slight a better idea as to what WellPath does. You said you were in the back end of
Yes.
onboarding. Could you exp I mean, I've heard of back end in terms of software. I haven't heard the
Yes.
terms back, and that's usually kind of what the machine's actually doing, as opposed to front end is what the customer sees.
Exactly.
But I
Exactly.
haven't heard the term back end applied toward staffing. So what does that mean?
Sure. So basically, what I do right now is I take candidates from an offer extended position. So they've worked with a recruiter up until this point to find the right location, the right position that fits, and the pay structure, all of that good stuff. I then go into our internal system, our applicant tracking system, and I am the person that double checks and verifies all of the background information that you need to provide as a new employee. So we are the people that run background checks. We help get candidates connected with their site leadership because at this point they've just been working with recruiters and most likely have not had many dealings with, the directors of nursing at a site or the head of the prison, let's say. So I am the person that verifies all of the information that we have is correct and accurate. And then I push our candidates through, we call it pushing to Kronos, where we move them through so that they have an employee ID, they can get paid, they can, write their hours, and then also start all of their onboarding documents. So we need candidates to fill out their I-9 forms. We have other, EEO documents, just things that are required before you start a new position.
Right, there's a
So,
lot of pretty standard stuff that all employees fill
yes.
out, and I imagine there might be some extra stuff for healthcare.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Got it. So you're handling, we'll say, the administrative end of people coming in.
Absolutely.
All
Yes.
right, that sounds great. About how many hours a week do you work?
So at this point, we did get a very large contract for the entire state of Georgia, which has, I believe the last time I checked, it was 61 sites that we had staff, still working on it. But I've been working, it's supposed to be a 40-hour work week. But we've definitely pulled some long hours. So there have been weeks where I work about 60 hours. There are weeks that I work exactly 40. But it ranges anywhere between 40 to 60 hours a week.
Gotcha. I assume you're a salaried employee.
At the moment, I'm actually a contract employee. I was previously with Amazon for long term, not as a non-contract employee, but both for hourly positions.
Oh, so then when you get a 60-hour week, it actually means you get paid more.
Yes, it's really great so far.
Terrific. Usually when someone talks about their long hours, they're always like, no, I'm salaried. And it's just like,
Yep.
oh,
Yep. I
no.
haven't hit that part yet, thankfully.
Do you expect that they'll make you a regular salaried, or are you going to be like, no, thanks? Okay.
So we've spoken about it, and I do know that that is definitely an option for me, and I'm just kind of trying to figure out the right move for my career from this point forward because I'm going
Sure.
back to school, so trying to find a job that kind of fits in with that and my educational goals and career goals. So
Got
yeah, I have an offer coming, but I'm also keeping an open mind just in case there is a fit that's a little bit better.
Sure. Can I ask what you're planning to go back to school in?
Yes, of course. So I'm going back to school starting in January. My master's in human resource management.
So along the lines of the job you're doing.
Yes, I really like I've been able to kind of experience the different parts of HR and be exposed to a lot of things. I get to wear a lot of hats in the role that I currently have, which I love. So I found that I'm a lot more interested and I want to have more of an educational background in HR, learn a little bit more about the policies and such so that I can be a great HR leader someday.
All right, that's terrific.
Thanks.
So, and you actually, let's see, half answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, which is, what are the criteria you have to hit to qualify for these interviews? Is that you enjoy what you do? So what is it? It could be your specific job or maybe just in general working in human resources. What is it about that that you enjoy?
Yeah, so what I found is that I am a big people person. I love learning about people, listening to people, hearing their stories about how they got to where they are now. And I found in some of my first corporate America positions that there was this really bad stigma about HR in general. I remember growing up, my family always joked about HR. There was a very, very silly, but an episode on SpongeBob where they made HR out to be this very, very scary fish in the corner that, makes a fist when someone says, "Do you want to talk to HR?" So I'm used to people kind of making fun of and saying, HR is a bad organization. They never do what they, say that they're going to do, and they never actually care and help. I had an experience where my coworkers were feeling very demoralized, especially during COVID and being stuck at home. And I spearheaded a committee that basically, what my goal was to figure out why we were having such low morale issues and how we could fix that and how we could, turn the tides a little bit so that people felt more comfortable coming to work and felt like they were being heard and their opinions were valued. I found that that was lacking and it felt like a really great way for me to showcase leadership and also get to be a positive force in other people's lives. I really enjoy helping other people and working to solve problems that are complex and don't necessarily have a clear cut, well, this is X, so you do Y. I like being able to creatively look at things and take that creative part of my brain that I've had, growing up in music and translate it into helping people in, corporate America.
Sure. That's great. And just one question about your job. So circling back to that, like, how long does it take you to process one person?
So it definitely depends. I would say on average, if all the stars align and all the paperwork is signed and everything is filled out correctly, basically it'll take me between 15 to 30 minutes per candidate.
Okay.
And at that point, at the end of the process, when I've verified that all of our documents and our ducks are in a row, it sends an email from my email. So candidates have my contact information when they get their onboarding documents to fill out. So we then do see some responses from people, with some questions that they have, any concerns that they might have. So I'll handle that as well. So it's not really a, got you in the system, now you're gone. We tend to kind of be a one-stop shop for a lot of questions that candidates may have. So we kind of try to hold their hand through the process of even just, you know, becoming a full-time employee through to actually starting their first day.
Sure, sure. Makes sense. All right. So let's take it back now to 2018.
Sure.
Although, if you feel that this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can go back further. But, you know, otherwise we'll say, okay, Berkeley's wrapping up. I'm guessing you're not thinking human resources. Could
no.
be wrong. Yeah. So, like,
no.
put us in your headspace as things were wrapping up Berkeley, and then we'll take it one step at a time, both what you were doing, but also, like, where you were at.
Absolutely. So I had a probably a very non-traditional leaving from Berkeley experience. When it came to, you know, the final few semesters, it was probably my seventh semester, so maybe a little bit before 2018. I sat down and I realized that I had seen a lot of my friends had started touring and, you know, doing music full time as their job. And I realized that I didn't like that lifestyle of kind of always being on the road and not having that stability. I have three dogs now. So I wanted something a little bit more stable, that I knew I could count on.
Can I ask, did you have dogs at the time, or a dog at the time?
Yes, I had two dogs in college.
Gotcha.
So we had two of them. We just got our third one about 3 weeks ago, so she's the newest addition. But we had the other two throughout college.
It sounds like, did you, I guess, did you then have a romantic partner as well who you were planning to stay with?
Yeah, and he is also a graduate from Berkeley. And he moved down to Nashville about 6 months before I did. He was a year behind me, so he graduated in 2019. But he moved down in December of 2018 to Nashville. And he basically started touring with country artists, playing down on Broadway, and he loved it. He's a big traveler, very free spirit. And I realized that was not something that I was super comfortable with.
And if you both were traveling, you'd never see each other.
Yes, exactly. I was like, I'll never see you. I'll never see my dogs, which are essentially my kids. So that's not going to work for me. So what I started doing was I have been a music teacher for years and years. I started teaching music and theater specifically back when I was in middle school. And I realized I love teaching. I love working with people and helping and tutoring. So I did a lot of tutoring. And I had a brief stint in law school for a year, found out I don't want to be a lawyer.
Sorry, could I ask, when was your law school stint? Was it the year right after college?
Yeah. Yes. So I graduated from Berkeley in May, and I started at Suffolk Law in, gosh, I believe September of 2018. So just a few months following, we moved from Fenway to Canal Street and started going to law school there.
And for what I say, here, I'll give you my own confession, which is I went to grad school soon after college and really didn't like the program and left and, you know, eventually circled around and got a real master's degree some number of years later.
Sure.
But can I ask, you know, there are many different reasons why people leave a program. Can I ask what made you decide that, okay, this is not for me?
Of course, yeah. So for me, honestly, it was, you know, the content that we were discussing and what I originally thought I wanted to do was to find a way to mix law and the music industry. So kind of in that same vein of helping people, mm-hmm. I found a lot of my friends had not taken music business yet at Berkeley, and had maybe signed some contracts that were not so great for them. And my thought was, well, if I become a lawyer, I would be able to help musicians because they need to focus on their music and they're not really going to look at these contracts all that closely. They need someone to kind of be their advocate in these experiences. So that was what made me originally think I can kind of go into this career and have that stability, but also still be able to help people and make a positive impact.
Right, which is a not, I mean, that certainly doesn't sound like a mistake, but then you
No.
got there and something changed.
Yes. It was, I was just not in a place where I could be in law school. I think I really, if I had really wanted to do it, I think it would have been much better for me to take a year off from school, and not kind of try to just barrel through everything. I
Sure.
think that was definitely part of the reason why I just was not ready, not up for the challenge of law school. But I also found that I wasn't all that interested in the course material, and that made it hard to really focus or be involved. So that was
Sure.
another big part.
Completely understood. As I said, I've been there.
Yep.
So then you basically, it sounds like, what, toward the end of the first year, you decide, okay, I'm gonna finish the year and then go,
Yep.
I guess,
Yep.
join the boyfriend in Nashville.
Yeah. So originally, I had, in the summer of 2019, I planned on coming down to Nashville because I received, well, I was granted entry into an internship program down here, doing kind of what I wanted to be doing as a lawyer if I had gotten there. I volunteered with an organization that gave free legal help and advice to musicians in Nashville, specifically catered to those that were under a specific income level. And we catered to a lot of, Belmont college students, just young musicians coming to the area, where we would offer free support. So it could be just reviewing a contract, it could be writing a contract or drafting a contract. And it could also be just going through legal planning, how to form a business entity for individuals who wanted to, set themselves up with an LLC, anything like that. So I did come down for law initially, but I did work two internships. So I had my legal internship, and then I also worked at Sawyer and Garner Management, which is a music management firm, and it's owned and run by another Berkeley alumni, Geraldine Sawyer, who is fantastic. And she focuses on artists and just everything you could think of for artist management. So I got to kind of dip my toes in the water there and found that I really liked that kind of more direct human interaction better than I liked the legalese and the back end of, trying to make sure people knew what they were doing and why they were doing it.
Sure. So when you went down to Nashville, had you already decided you weren't going back to law school?
I hadn't at that point. I came down and I stuck to my internship and said I wanted to really give it a try and put myself in it and see if I thought it would be something I would want to do. After I had been there for, I believe it was about a month and a half, I realized it really was not the right fit for me. So at that point, that was when I made the switch and said, I'm not going to come back to go to law school. I'm going to stay here in Nashville.
Gotcha. All right, so then what's the next move?
So the next move at that point was I left the internship and I worked at Sawyer and Garner. Worked there as an intern for about half a year, well, maybe a little over half a year. And then I
So
found
that was paid?
that was unpaid.
Okay.
So I worked, part-time jobs here and there, dog walking on the side, just kind of finding things to make ends meet. And then I found a position with a company called Lyric Financial. So still going in the music realm, it was a music finance firm. So what they did was it was a very small company run as a startup, and they gave advances on royalties to musicians.
Okay.
So I worked in customer service and social media management for Lyric Financial. And I was there for a few months. And then I was contacted to go and make the move to Amazon to be a recruiting coordinator, which
So,
was my real foray into kind of HR.
wow, that a passive voice. I'm really curious, how did this Amazon job happen?
Yeah, so I was working with Lyric Financial, and out of the blue one day, I got a message on LinkedIn from an Amazonian who was a recruiter. Said, I found your profile. You seem like you would be a really great fit for this position that I'm hiring for. I would love to call you and discuss and kind of see what you're thinking. So out of the blue, I said, why not? If I don't even talk to them, I don't even know what I'm missing out on. So went and had a great conversation with them, and then went through the interview process and was offered a job all within, gosh, I believe it was like 2 or 3 weeks. I had a job offer on the table.
Wow, and I assume it was a step up or more in line with what you.
Yes. Yeah, definitely a step up. It was also, coming from working in really small companies. Sawyer Yard Management was just Geraldine Sawyer and her partner. So it was just the two of them, and then myself as an intern and another intern who was another Berkeley alum. And then going to Amazon, I mean, kind of a big place to be. So went from having 4 or 5 people to talk to hundreds of thousands of people to talk to, and a lot more complex issues. And I worked in a pretty big organization. So I had a lot of opportunity for growth, which was different from my previous roles.
No, that's exciting. So you
Yeah.
were at Amazon for how long? Sounds like you start there, what, in the spring of 2020, is that right?
So I started in February. So
Right
I
in time
think,
for the pandemic to hit, what?
oh, it was great. My timing was just, couldn't have been better. I was in the office for 2 weeks, and then we were all home for the rest of the time. So, I got to go to 2 events that we held. We used to do all of our recruiting in person. Amazon is a very big, face-to-face kind of company. They like providing that experience for candidates. So I was able to go and work at and assist some of our social hours, and then also some of our final interview events before COVID. And then COVID hit, and we switched to that all virtual, process for everything that we did. But yes, I had those glorious 2 or 3 weeks where I was in person in the office.
Gotcha. And so I will say, Amazon, you talked about working for a big firm. Amazon's about as big as they come.
Absolutely.
And like, okay, but you're not there anymore, so what then led from you going to Amazon to your current company?
Yeah, so again, I was reached out to by a recruiter, and I had found in my job at Amazon, one of the things that I really loved about Amazon was the fact that even though it's a massive company, they really do run like a startup. So everywhere you turn, there's something new that you can try, something new that you can offer up as a suggestion, and they want you to be creative problem solvers. So if you see something and you think, well, I could do X, Y, and Z, and someone else says, well, I could do D, E, and F, they want you to work together to figure out how can we incorporate all of that. So I loved that. And when WellPath came to me, it was the same wonderful thing. It was, we are, we function as a startup. I was working, I work currently in the startup part of WellPath. So any of the new contracts that we get come to me. So I get to help put together hiring events, manage, hiring event management, as well as working with the recruiters for these new sites to figure out what do these sites need as far as, background checks, any kind of odd one-off processes that a site requires that's just, this prison wants X, Y, and Z. How do we get that done? So I liked the idea of being one more involved in HR from where I was at Amazon, where I had moved from the recruiting coordination to more email and marketing automation. So I started working, I taught myself a program, Salesforce Pardot, and it was an email marketing automation tool as well as a web design tool. So I created web pages and email marketing and kind of managed that for my team. And I found that I really liked that marketing aspect, but I was missing that human interaction. And so when an HR specific role came, and just kind of sat itself on my lap, that was when I said, you know what, I would like to make a switch, make a little bit of a change, and get more into the nitty-gritty of what I believe I want to do before I go back to school and make that full-time commitment. So I'm not making the same mistake that I did with law school a few years ago.
Sure. So you were brought over into your current role, and here you are.
Yeah,
Great.
absolutely. Here I am.
So we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three now.
Okay.
And let me preface the next question by saying there is no right or wrong answer. Okay. So these days, let's call it the second half of 2021, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
My current relationship with music, that is a great question. So living with a drummer, I certainly have drums playing every day. And surprisingly, none of the dogs really seem too concerned, which is a great thing. But I brought all my instruments down with me. So I have my cello, my guitar, my ukulele, my piano. I still have my collection of sheet music. We have our record player. We constantly have music in this house. I take out my ukulele at least once a day. And I just kind of, I like to stay in touch with it. And I have a professor at Berkeley that has become a dear, dear friend. And he sends me music to sing and record and send back to him. And he helps me, stay. Keep singing and keep practicing so I don't lose what I worked so hard for. So I try my best to keep music a part of my life every day.
All right, that's terrific. So I'd like you to think about your current role working in HR. And obviously, people come to HR with many different undergrad degrees. I feel like most HR jobs, they want you to have a college degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's say Berkeley is a college degree. Right, and in that sense, it qualified you for an HR job. But all that said, right, beyond Berkeley being a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current job?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for me, I think doing taking all of my classes that focused on performing and having that, at that time it was the stage presence, but just having that presence and having feeling comfortable being looked at and listened to really helped me. A lot of my classes on, performance technique and how to prepare yourself for those kinds of things, that was what I think has really helped me. Helped me to, one, the whole Berklee degree was so creative and it really made me use my brain in a different way than I had previously. So I think being able to look at something and try to see every single possibility is massively helpful in HR when you have all these questions that come to you and you probably don't know the answer, and that's okay, but how do we find that? How do we get there? And I think Berklee was great at setting me up for success doing that because there were so many times at Berklee where I would have an assignment or, I was trained classically growing up as a vocalist and I did opera pieces and arias, and I was in musical theater since I was six. And coming to Berklee, that was a little bit of a culture shock because it was a lot more pop and rock and jazz. And of course, as a performance major, I had to take a scatting course. And this was something I had never done because in musical theater, if you change notes, it's kind of a slight. There are a few things you can change, but you're not going to change the whole thing. You're not going to improvise all that much on Broadway.
Right.
So being able to be pushed out of my comfort zone at Berklee, I think was the biggest thing that has helped me in my career navigating from, just starting out in Nashville to where I am now, because that being comfortable in the unknown and the uncomfortable makes it so much easier to grow and learn about myself to
Oh no, we seem to.
Oh.
I lost you for just a sec. I heard grow and learn and yourself and
Oh.
then lost like 5 seconds. Could you?
Okay, I can get it back. So I said, it helped me grow and learn so that I can help other people grow and learn through HR as an HR employee.
Great. Great. That's terrific. So let's turn that question around now.
Sure.
Because Berklee gives that one degree, the Bachelor's of Music. You went there knowing that, and you are doing very well for yourself now. But all that said, when you look back at your Berklee education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to learn this while I was at Berklee, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
Well, I don't know if I would say that Berklee was missing it. I think I missed it. I think that was more of it. Just knowing more about the music industry. I think maybe one thing, all right, maybe there is one thing. Coming down to Nashville, and I've heard this a lot from a few Berklee alumni along with myself that are down here and they, are doing music as their full-time career. The dynamic of the music industry here versus the music industry in LA versus the music industry in, New York City, they're so vastly different in the way that they are run and the way that you get gigs and the way that you keep gigs. So I know from talking to my partner, he said that was something that he wished there was, more of an emphasis on for people that really wanted to do the gigging kind of music career, to have more of that. Well, here's what you can expect. Here's how to actually prepare for where you're thinking of going. And maybe there's, a single course that goes through a bunch of different cities. I mean, you could even include, London's another massive one, right? Something to kind of bring in guest speakers that are working in those industries, in those locales, to say, here's what my experience has been, and here's what the industry looks like here. Because it's hard to make a blanket term, right, of the industry in one location versus another. And it, to me, you know, as a, I knew I wasn't going to try to do music as my career. I didn't even think about those things. But after being here and watching his career and our friends' careers, that was probably the one thing that I thought would be a really wonderful benefit to Berkeley to help prepare people for the real world and that gigging mentality.
Sure. No, very, very good. next question I have for you is, you figured out that you didn't want to, be touring. You wanted to sort of be more in place. If that meant working in a kind of supportive role in the music industry, great. But when it's like, well, or maybe I'll just have a quote regular day job. Well, hey, this works great too. Let's say not a, you went to law school, maybe again hindsight, not the thing you wanted to do. There's a lot of people who haven't found their footing right after undergrad.
Absolutely.
And lots of people even at Berkeley who are staring out into the big scary world and wondering what comes next. So
Yeah.
for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Hey, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
There you are. Can you repeat that question?
Okay, sure. So basically, for either the folks who are, just out of Berkeley but haven't found their footing yet, or for the current group of Berkeley students staring out into the big scary world and wondering what happens next, what advice do you have?
Well, I think the best advice that I could give is know that you're not alone. You're very far from alone. Even people not in, the music industry, it's unfortunately very common that, you get out of college and you go, wow, what am I going to do now? And for me, one of the best things that I ever did for myself was to just say yes and try things. That was what made me, find all of these different paths to get to where I am now. And it hasn't been a straight line. It hasn't been a perfect line. It's been a rough line at points, but I found more about myself through this kind of zigzag journey that I've been on. And at first I was scared, but I found that it's made me not only a better person in my career field, but also just feel more confident in myself and know that I am capable of doing what I set my mind to, and anyone is capable of doing what they set their mind to. There's always going to be support. The Alumni Association for Berkeley has been an incredible support. And if you're ever wondering about a career, go learn about it. There's an infinite number of free courses you can take and experiences you can try, and all of that is worth it. And you owe it to yourself to try new things and just see what happens.
All right, that's terrific. Let's zoom in a little bit. As noted earlier, you're my 203rd interview. I don't think anyone's listening to all 203, but
Fair.
you're, I think, my fourth or fifth person who's working in human resources. So anyone who's made it this far is almost certainly interested in, or at least considering, a career in human resources. So
Sure.
for someone who, they're not working in it yet, but they're thinking, yeah, HR, I get to work with people, I get to help people, I get to untie knots, so to speak. I
Yep.
typically, it sounds like you are going to grad school for it. Many people get in HR their first job, they don't have to go to school yet. So
Absolutely.
there's a lot to recommend it as a career. For someone who's really thinking about HR, so not as a potential thing to go for. What advice do you have for them?
Oh, that is a great question. I think I would say to them, find something that piques your interest. There are so many, specifically to HR, there are so many entry-level positions, and in HR, there are so many different variations and specializations that you can go. So try things. You never know what you're going to like. You never know what's going to click with your brain. So take the opportunities that you see as they come.
All right, that's
They
great.
want to find people that are interested, you know? Yeah.
Great, so I just have
Yeah.
one last question for you, Christina, which is,
Sure.
you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I guess I would just, thank you for reaching out, and just I'm very thankful for everything that I learned and earned from Berkeley. So I'm glad that this program exists, and other students that were in a similar situation as me have more info to kind of reach out and get that support that they need.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Christina. It was really, I learned a lot and really enjoyed this conversation. So,
Thank you, Kevin.
thanks for taking the time and have a lovely evening.
Absolutely, you as well.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.